We're going to go on to part 13 of these gospel misunderstandings that we've been going through. And I'm going to try and get done by 7:30 so we can listen to Jerry Lockhart live, his live Bible study at that time. No questions that I see anyway. All right. We're going to continue reading. We've been going through two parallel sections, Acts 17 and 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3. And we're up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. So I'm going to read a few of these verses down through 20. And I'm not good at reading and trying to post and talk about it all at the same time. So if somebody can post these, that'll help. Otherwise, I'll read them anyway. 1 Thessalonians, this is part 13 of Gospel Misunderstandings. And we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, this is 18, verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Verse 20 there. So as we get into the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we need to be reminded that Paul did not write this epistle until all these events had happened. He was telling what happened, being fully aware of the comforting and joyful outcome at the end of it. What Paul is going to report here in chapter 3, he knew back in chapter 2 when he wrote three times about preaching the gospel of God to them and going through conflict, contention, it says back there at the beginning. So he knew about all that. He knew about the good outcome of Timothy's visit back to Thessalonica with the gospel of Christ. When he wrote that our gospel came unto you in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. But we're going to look now at the first verse in 1 Thessalonians 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, he was waiting and waiting, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So that was when Paul got sent away from Berea, surreptitiously, you know, to escape those rogue Jews coming from Thessalonica. Came out to Berea, too, to try and cause trouble there after they chased him out of Thessalonica. So they made it look like they were going down, like Paul was going down to the docks. But instead, they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, apparently by land, some other way anyway. They didn't have airplanes then. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. That's the key right there, that Timothy was a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, presenting the gospel of salvation to those that had believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is. So we need to underline that in your Bibles. Underline our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And that's why Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica. Timothy was Paul's fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And Timothy was sent out to Thessalonica to minister unto them the gospel of Christ, or serve it up to them, serve them the gospel of Christ. My gospel, he calls it in several places. When Paul and and we'll get to this a little bit later too, I think, but when Paul and Timothy are working together to present the gospel of Christ, he calls it our gospel. My gospel, our gospel. So he ministered, Timothy ministered unto those in Thessalonica the gospel of Christ to establish them, knowing that that would establish them. Romans 16:25 tells us that the gospel of Christ is one of the three things that does establish us. The gospel of Christ saves us, that's the starting point, but there's more to being established than just being saved. So, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you. Paul knew that when he sent Timothy to minister the gospel of Christ to them, that it would establish those who believe. They had to believe it, though. It'll make them stable, established, sealed in Christ, having believed the gospel of salvation. Just knowing that Jesus is the risen Messiah, in other words, the gospel of God, facts, as Paul had been able to preach him there to them there in Thessalonica before he got kicked out, that does not establish you. The gospel of God doesn't. The gospel, it requires the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of God is the foundation upon which the gospel of Christ is preached. It's the foundation upon which the body of Christ is built. The gospel of God. That's the first four verses of Romans chapter 1. If you're wondering, let's see, the foundation. That's right, who Jesus Christ is. That he's the Son of God, that's the sonship of Christ, of Jesus. That he's the Messiah, the Messiahship of Jesus. And that he's resurrected from the dead. Those three things, or two of them, sometimes they're kind of combined, two of them are. Talks about the seed, born of the seed of David, as being the messianic line. But that's the reason why Paul always preached the gospel of God first, and then preached to those that believed the gospel of God, he would preach the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. Again, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith. He did have to leave them in the lurch for a while. He had to. He was chased out of town for his own safety. Paul said, concerning your faith. Do you have faith in this or not, Thessalonians? Paul is writing back in 1 Thessalonians, he's writing back and challenging them, although he knew the outcome. But that's what he's talking about when he says, concerning your faith, to comfort you concerning your faith. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, rest in that. Be comforted. You're saved. It's the outcome of what he's trying to say there. Paul was concerned about them. He was uncomfortable because he had to leave Thessalonica, having preached to them the gospel of God about who Jesus is, but not he had not had the chance to give them the gospel of Christ about what Christ did to save them. He could have been there 15 days and only had three meetings with them, hour long meeting. I don't know how long their Sabbath meetings were, probably an hour or less. So he had probably a total of, 180 minutes to talk to staunch Jews about Jesus is your Messiah. Can you imagine yourself going into a synagogue today and persuading a city full of Jews a synagogue full of Jews from the city there, persuading them that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah that they were waiting for? The hand of God was on him, or they would not have turned. They were being called of God into the body of Christ, and some of them, it says in 1 Corinthians 7:17-20, some of them were still, they had heard the gospel Peter's gospel that he was preaching, the gospel of the circumcision, and they were still being called individually into the gospel of the circumcision. They were not being called, the nation of Israel was no longer being called to be the kingdom on earth, kingdom out of heaven on earth. That had passed. They had fallen from that, and they have to wait until, well, it turns out to be almost two millenniums now, and who knows how much longer before the kingdom, the Lord does bring the kingdom from heaven to earth to rule on earth over all these kingdoms that are here today. check out Daniel 2:44 about that, and that's once he establishes that kingdom, it will never end. So they didn't know yet the gospel of Christ. They were positive, though. I mean, they were believers in the gospel of God. They heard Paul preach that Jesus is the Messiah, he was resurrected, and they believed that. So they were positive, but they hadn't heard that Christ died for their sins, hadn't heard that if you believe that Christ died for your sins, you're saved from the wrath to come. But they were positive. They did believe the gospel of God. So Paul was eager to hear their response to the gospel of Christ when, you know, that he sent his fellow laborer Timothy to minister to them. He wanted to hear. So let's go to verse 3 in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Again, afflictions were there. When he tried to preach, it says in the first verse up there, there was much contention. And then they hired those lewd fellows of the baser sort to lie about him and try and get the government against Paul. He was sent away to Berea and the whole thing that we're studying here. But Paul was writing back and was saying, they treated me terribly. They're treating you terribly. You know, remember Jason? He had gotten beaten and dragged before the officials. It was not a good treatment that they were getting. They were going through tribulation for getting the gospel out to... they were against Paul. Satan was against Paul and riled these people up to be against him. Still in all, there were many, what's it say, of the Greeks, devout Greeks, many, a great multitude, that's what it said, a great multitude was believing the gospel of God, and of the chief women, not a few. So, verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourself, For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, this is verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know, and you know. So don't get thrown off course here. Paul did not say, well, what did he say? He said we should suffer tribulation. Talking to those Thessalonians, you know, and you could respond, well, I thought that we were delivered from the tribulation. The tribulation Paul was talking about in this passage here, he said, even as it came to pass. That tribulation he was talking about that they knew they were going to have to go through, that was already passed. It had already occurred. It was the tribulation that those unbelieving Jews gave him and was giving the gospel of God, believing Thessalonians that were left there. They were, those disbelieving Jews were rebel-rousing the whole city and suborning those lewd fellows of the baser sort and all that that tribulation that was going on there that Satan was behind. So, So, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, verse 5, for this cause, so now we're getting right down to it, to the point of all this. He says, for this cause. You know, if you've been sleeping or daydreaming, getting the coffee, or double dipping, or listening to something else, this is the time to listen here. And this is it. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 3, 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. So he had been waiting in Athens alone, and now it says he sent to find out about, you know, he had already told Timothy and Silas to come in a hurry, I forget the terminology, but to come in a hurry to Athens. Well, they were together in Berea when he said it, and they were both going to Athens, but, you know, Paul had to wait for them because they had this other thing that he sent them to do, to go to Thessalonica to minister to them the gospel of Christ, that they might be saved, having believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is. So Paul was saying, I was very eager to hear about your faith. I can just hardly wait to hear about your faith. Their faith was what Paul was so concerned about back in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2. In verse 5, again, it says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. In other words, they were not secure yet, and Paul knew it. They had believed the gospel of God, but they hadn't heard or believed the gospel of Christ, and they were not yet secure. They were not saved yet. They were not sealed yet. Not just by the gospel of God. They had heard and believed the gospel of God in Thessalonica, and they had needed to hear and believe the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins and was buried and was resurrected the third day. But those are merely facts of that mystery gospel of what Christ did. It's the facts of what Christ did upon which the mystery gospel is based. When I say mystery gospel, it was revealed to Paul and it had been kept secret meaning mystery, had been kept a mystery before it was revealed to Paul, before Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. It was mystery, it was unknown. This, the gospel of how to be saved, the gospel of Christ. The salvation that Christ made available to us. Us being anybody, not just Jews, although it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek during the Acts period, but from the time Paul was saved until the time he was sent to all people, it was to the Jew first. Once he was sent to all people, that included the Jews and the Greeks, but it included us too. People like us, Gentiles, people not born of Israel, never blessed Israel before they fell in Acts 7. I can't bless them now. They're not any special way to God anymore. For the time being, they will be again. God will keep all his promises to Israel. He'll keep them to Israel, not to us. He's not going to make a promise to Israel and say, well, I fulfilled it to those dirty dog Gentiles. We're saved by a different gospel, to a different location. We're saved to heaven. Israel was never promised heaven. Remember, we read that Abram was promised the land there. Go down to verse 7, Genesis 12, 7, talks about the land. 13:15, Genesis 17, verse 19, talks about the land and the promise of God to give them the land. So those facts about Jesus being the Son of God, being the Messiah, risen from the dead, they're facts about what Christ did, what God did, not how to be saved, like the gospel of Christ is. Our part is in the two verses before the part in the gospel of Christ. Let me put those on the... We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And I'm going to talk about the second, the third and fourth verses first, and then the second, first and second verses after that. But we'll put them up there in the order they appear. 1, 2, 3, and 4. So, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. And that's an important statement. I declare unto you. You know, if you underline just that, it shows a lot. If you underline it every time you see it. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. That's a declaration. I preached unto you. Underline that too. Which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. You Israelites that he's talking about that just came out of the synagogues. Because they believed that Jesus was the Christ. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Underline it again. That's what you have to remember. You don't get saved by what Peter preached unto them. You don't get saved by what James preached unto them. Or anybody else preached unto them, including Jesus Christ. Jesus preached to the circumcision. Came as a minister of the circumcision. Not a minister to us. At that time, he returned on the road to Damascus with our information and sent Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles to us. That's Paul. That's where we find our information in the epistles that Paul wrote. So he says in verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you, that's like I preached unto you, isn't it? I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now that's going a little beyond believing it, isn't it? It's believing it specifically for my own need, your own need. I received it to the, you know, it makes it personal. You receive God's salvation instead of saying, I know God died for sinners. Which is so vague, it doesn't help you at all. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Well, the verses 3 and 4 are the facts of how God made salvation available to us. And verses 1 and 2 are how to appropriate it. What to do about it, to have it apply to you. Those facts are that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, verses 3 and 4. But, let's with that in mind, let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. We need to hear it, or read it, or you know, find out about it. Which also you have received. You need to receive it to your own need. What? Receive what? Well, receive what's in verses 3 and 4. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto, which you also received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. Do you believe it? You are saved if you believe that Christ died for your sins, rose again. So, that's what I'm... that's the way I see those four verses. That the facts of how he saves us, the gospel of Christ, is in verses 3 and 4. But the facts of how what you need to do... Or believe, and it's only to believe, it's nothing to do. What you need to believe is verses 1 and 2 tells you to believe verses 3 and 4 to be saved. By which also you are saved. And when it talks about Israel's salvation, it always talks about it you shall be saved. It's always future. When Christ returns, it explains in Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21, that's when their sins, Israel's sins, are blotted out. But for us, it's different. It's a different salvation. It says you are saved. That's present tense. Right now, upon belief, you're saved. The Holy Spirit baptizes that believer into the body, the one body of Christ. The only body of Christ. Spiritual body. So our part is the two verses of verses 1 and 2 that you individually have to receive it to your own condition as a sinner in need to be saved. And that's how it says that we can appropriate this salvation for our own need. And that's what's different about this salvation from Israel's. I mean, it talks about Christ bearing Israel's sins, the sins of many, in Isaiah 53, but it doesn't say how to appropriate it, like it does here in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 for us. Let's look at the salvation verses. I got in my notes for us to look, but we just looked at them. Again, in verse 1 it says, you have received. Once you receive it, in verse 2 it says you're saved. Verse 3 says, I delivered unto you that which I also received. It never says to believe it, but it does say that if you don't receive what Paul preached unto you, you've believed in vain. So it does reference believing. You need to believe, but in the way, in a personal and individual way, for your own need to be filled, to be saved from your own condemnation that is on us all, as by being born into Adam's race. But looking back at Paul's the event there of the Thessalonica visit, twice in those I was going to talk about something else, and now I'm just about done with this, and we've got a few minutes. I'm losing my train of thought. Let me go back to my notes. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we read that twice it says to receive it. It reemphasizes the fact that we need to receive it to ourselves. Let's go on to 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 and 7. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Now, you can't say that Paul knew they had believed unto salvation before the time when Timothy came back from Thessalonica and reported to Paul. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted by your faith. So it was only after he heard that they heard and believed the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. It was only then that he knew they were saved. Not when he went there and preached the gospel of God to them. And people will say, like I reported last night, the people say to me, well, of course he preached the gospel of salvation. That's what he went there for. But look at the words on the page and see what he did preach to them. Three times he declared, I preached unto you the gospel of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, verse 8, and verse 9. And he sent Timothy to minister to them the gospel of Christ, so that they would be saved. And he was not sure of their salvation until he heard back, as he reported in 1 Thessalonians 3, 7. So that's the heart of the matter. That's what it was all about, their faith. Paul had to find out whether they believed or not. He knew they believed the gospel of God, but he had to find out if they believed the gospel of salvation or not, the gospel of Christ for them. Today, it's the same saving message, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, but it's to all people now, so it's not called the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul was quite concerned, though, when he had to leave them with only the good news about having told them only the news in the gospel of God, who Jesus is, but didn't get to tell them how to be saved. He heard back from Timothy that when Timothy was sent to tell them that they did believe, and he was comforted. Okay, I'm done with the study for tonight. Looks like we made it in time for Jerry's broadcast coming up.